This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WBXU. I'm Lucy May. We've talked repeatedly on this program about how homeowners in Ohio have seen dramatic increases in their property tax bills this year. But new research from the nonprofit firm Iruka and fair housing agency Housing Opportunities Made Equal finds that in Hamilton County, these tax increases are not spread equally among all residents. And the researchers recommend dramatic changes to our tax system to make the system more equitable. Joining me now to discuss these findings and recommendations are sociology professor and Iruka director, Junia Howell. Welcome, Junia.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for being here. And Housing Opportunities Made Equal assistant director, LaTanya Springs. Thanks for being here, LaTanya.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with these. I want to talk about these reports. They really dig into the property tax increases in Hamilton County. But first, Junia, explain the origins of property taxes. What kind of wealth were they designed to include, to measure, to tax?
Yeah, so property taxes are our oldest taxing in Ohio. It predates the existence of our state, so going all the way back to settler colonialism. And the idea at the time was a way to kind of quickly and as fair as they could be tax for the things that the settler colony needed, right? So if you think about this, we're talking agriculture, we're talking back in the day, income tax would have been really hard to figure out exactly how to do, sales tax would have been hard. And so an easy way to do it was just to use land. So at the time, it wasn't like your house or the barn, it was the land. And it was a mix of how big that land is and how fertile that land is. And so it was the easiest way to try to distribute the tax burden.
Well, we were a very agricultural society. And we've talked a lot about how much property tax bills increase this year. Your reports talk about the average bill increasing by $610 or 30% in Hamilton County and the average bill increasing $810 or 46% in Cincinnati. There's this feeling that just about everybody's property taxes went up, but what's the reality?
Yeah, so I knew when I started working on this last fall that everyone's, well, before it was even the taxes, we were just looking at the assessments, right? But I knew everyone would want it come up, but it actually wasn't until recently until I actually looked at that. And even though I've been spending a lot of time, I was also surprised. So one in four, 25% of Hamilton County's residents' taxes went down. Not only did they not increase, they actually went down. And then another about 25% stayed relatively stable. So that's 50%. Half of our county had either decreases in taxes or relatively stable. So when you see those averages being that high, that's being pulled up by the very top that saw dramatic increases. So what I like to think about is we're not just seeing an increase in taxing, we actually saw a reshuffling. We've changed who's paying a lot of our property taxes in this last year.
Well, and your report points out that Black neighborhoods, Black homeowners are carrying a lot of that burden. First, I want to talk about that. How did you characterize Black neighborhoods and white neighborhoods? How do you know that what you're looking at is like Black homeowners, and talk about the burden that they're really bearing in these increases?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a huge data geek. If you look, so as you referenced, there's actually two reports we put out. They're full of numbers, they're full of data. I spent months and months swimming in it. I love it. So if I got my way, I would have data on every single homeowner, how each person, not only the home, sorry, not just the owner, but who's living there and every there, how they identify, race, gender, everything, right? I would have all that. But sadly, I don't have all of that delineated to that level. But we do, via the census data, have information on blocks and census tracts. And so what I used was the percent of the census tract or the neighborhood is the kind of colloquial way that we think about that, that identified as non-Hispanic white. And what I did was I actually used a continuous variable. So I'm not just categorizing, oh, this is a Black neighborhood, this is a white neighborhood. I'm using it as a full line. And because I'm using it as a continuous variable, then it gives me a really robust understanding of how race is being influenced by these changes. And then to tell the story, you know, anytime you're telling a story when you're with data, you got to like pick ideal types, right? So I'm picking examples. And so I use kind of the extreme examples for a lot of the numbers to just help tell how racialized it is. So a neighborhood that would be all white, what would the impact of that, what would the impact of the taxes be? A neighborhood that's no one who's white is living there. So when most of the numbers in the report kind of look at those two extremes to tell the racialized difference, but what's actually happening behind the scenes, if you pull back the curtain in the models, is a continuous measure. So we're including everyone and looking that proportion across the entire neighborhood.
And what did those extremes find?
Yeah, so the extremes find, especially with the change. So this is the change in your tax bill from 2023 to 2024. The average Black resident saw an almost $1,000 increase in just pure absolute dollars, $1,000. Percent-wise, it's about an 83% increase in your taxes. So, you know, we're talking about inflation a lot these days and how high those are. 83%, that's way higher than our general inflation. While on the other end, so again, we're talking like the spectrum here. The average all-white neighborhood saw an increase of only $440. Again, just absolute dollars. And the percent increase is only 8%, a much, much smaller percent increase in those communities.
Did that surprise you, LaTanya? I mean, you're with the Housing Opportunities Made Equal, the Fair Housing Agency in Cincinnati. Did that dramatic disparity surprise you?
It did not surprise the Fair Housing Agency, because what we're seeing in the neighborhoods, we hear before we partnered with Juno, we was already getting complaints from the communities, from the residents about the property taxes. So that's why we reached out to Juno and she was working on it already, is that we had people already complaining from those neighborhoods about how it has increased. And we have been focusing on those neighborhoods because we're trying to increase Black homeownership. And now we have to fight to keep people in their homes. And we only have 33% Black Cincinnatians who own homes right now.
So you're just fighting to maintain, much less increase, with these huge property tax bill increases.
We have to fight to maintain. We call them legacy homeowners. We have been fighting for the last couple of years. We have been fighting with the roadmap, trying to figure out how can we keep these legacy homeowners in their homes while trying to increase Black homeownership.
Hmm. Well, we're talking about the property tax increases in Ohio and how new research has found those increases are not spread equally among residents in Hamilton County. Do you have questions about these findings? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Junya, you found a similar pattern across neighborhood incomes, mm-hmm. that lower income neighborhoods had higher tax bills, and that's in dollar amounts, not just as a percentage of their incomes. Explain what you found there.
Yeah, and just to clarify, they had dollar amount increases that were higher.
Oh, I'm
right?
Sorry.
No,
yeah.
you're fine. It's confusing, increases in amounts. But I think it's important distinction, because
sure.
their total tax bill is still lower than high income neighborhoods. So don't get us wrong on that. Don't get that twisted, if you will. But the increase in dollar numbers and definitely in percent is much higher. And it parallels this racial story. So they both are true. We can look at them separately. We can hold them constant. Both are happening, but they're related. And it has to do with how the tax assessments are calculated and how those assessments end up changing our tax rates.
Hmm. So you conclude that Hamilton County's property taxes didn't go up equally. How did you determine whether these increases were because of housing market trends? Because we've had a number of conversations about these tax increases on our show, and over again, we hear the housing market has been bonkers, especially since the pandemic. Everything's higher. It's just crazy. And that's been what people have attributed these increases to.
Yeah, that was my question going into this. And again, I started this back when we got our assessments last August. And the first model I ran was like, can this be attributed to the real estate market? And when you think about it, just generally, are the assessments going up because of general increases in the real estate market? Yes. But what it's not happening is can we explain the higher increases in Black and more poor neighborhoods by their markets? That's not true. The markets don't explain these inequalities. So the market does explain that, the general increase. It doesn't explain the inequality. So what does explain it? What is actually going on here? So to understand that, I think it's helpful to step back for a second and just understand quickly how property taxes are calculated. So just like any other tax, like your income tax or your sales tax, you're taxing a value by a rate. But unlike income or sales tax, the government is defining both the value and the rate. So on the value side, you know, if it's a sales tax, the company decides how much they're selling their computer for, their chair for, right? But in this case, because we don't buy and sell property every year, the government has to say, okay, what are we estimating the value of these taxes to be? Or sorry, the value of these properties to be. And because they're having to estimate, then how they do that impacts the taxes. So we're going to get back to the tax rate for a second. But on that estimating piece, piece to understand this. If you have ever bought a house or been a part of buying or selling a house or refinancing a house, you're probably somewhat familiar with the appraisal process where a market appraiser will come to your house, they'll evaluate, take pictures, figure out how big your house is, et cetera, and then generally speaking, they use what's called a sales comparison approach, or they compare your house to other houses and figure out, okay, what does that mean that your house is probably worth based on recent sales in your neighborhood? The auditor can't do that for every house. There's too many. That's not what's happening. In fact, Ohio is one of the first states to adapt back in the 1930s mass assessment processes. And how we did it in the 30s is very different than how we're doing it now. But it's a big computer algorithm, if you want to think about it that way, because, I mean, that is what it is, where we take a whole bunch of data on all the houses that have sold and we make an equation. So I often like to say, like, it's taking you back to middle school algebra, that algebra you thought you never needed to use. That is the base for how these things are calculated. We are taking a whole bunch of dots on a graph, if you want to picture it that way, and then we're drawing a line and we're figuring out what's the equation for the line. Again, do you remember when you had to do that when you're in seventh grade and you're like, what? That is what's happening here. And so then that equation is used to estimate everyone's value of their properties. What we're seeing, this is a national trend, but it's exacerbated this year in Hamilton County, is generally speaking, homes in white neighborhoods and more affluent neighborhoods, that equation pulls them down. It means it underassesses them compared to what they can be sold on the market. And the opposite is true for communities of color and lower income communities. This is in some ways a mathematical phenomenon. In math, we often call it like pulling things to the mean or regressing to the mean. If you're making an equation in the middle, you're pulling everyone into that middle. And so what we're seeing happen is there's actually a really big difference between what's happening in the market and what people are getting assessed, their assessed values. And so when we looked at, well, is it because of the real estate market? Is it because Bond Hill had these huge increases because their market is like popping off like crazy? And we controlled for things like how many sales were happening, were there bigger houses, you know, anything you would think about the market. That does not explain their change in assessment. Their change in assessment has to do with this equation that's pulling everyone into the middle.
We do have some callers on the line. Let's go to Connie first. Hi, Connie. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Thanks so much. Yeah, I live in here in Northside, and as a neighborhood, land was much, much more than the average increase on our street alone. I personally went online and did this. 32 homes, the average was 62%, and more than half of us are retired. So my question is, what can the presenter tell us about what changes are underfoot to undo this or fix this for future assessments?
Great question, Connie. We definitely want to talk about solutions. Junia, let's talk about retirees specifically. I don't think you really broke down that age group in your report, but are you aware of fixes that could help those homeowners? Because, you know, folks who are on a fixed income, a huge bill like this can really be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So those on fixed incomes, as Latanya was saying, legacy homeowners, right? And it's not just those who are on fixed incomes because of their age. It can be because of disability, veteran status, and the connections there within disability, or many other reasons that you have fixed or just limited income. So all those people are definitely most impacted by these changes. So let me break down a few things. First is, if you're not aware, Ohio, and this is a statewide program, has a homestead exemption that is, you have to have a mix of things to qualify. Sadly, there is not very streamlined. It's hard to make sure you know you're qualified, you have it, but it's something we're aware of, that a lot of people who could qualify and would get upwards of about $600 off their taxes aren't, they're not enrolled. So if your caller or others on their street are above 65, which it sounds like if half of them are retired, many probably are, if they also meet the income requirements, and not all your income counts towards that. So I would recommend you going to the Hamilton County Auditor's site and looking at their resources to figure out if you qualify. But also for other listeners, if you are disabled or have veteran status, those are other qualifying things. So there is an existing program to help if you possibly or someone you know might qualify. Make sure that you look and see, do you qualify and are you currently enrolled? Similarly, there's also credits we have in the system. So there's home editor credits and non-business credits. If you are a homeowner, you should qualify for both of those. We know that there are thousands of houses that are homeowner occupied houses that are not currently enrolled in those programs. So if you don't know, go onto the auditor site, see if you're enrolled, call the auditor's office, see if you're enrolled. If you are a homeowner, you should qualify no matter your income or age for those programs. So those are pre-existing things that are out there. There are also initiatives both in the city itself and the county for tax relief for those for this immediate issue. I know tax bills are due again today. So those who are feeling it today, that there are those programs, the city is rolling out a new program. So the details of that are not public yet, but make sure that if you need assistance, you keep up a tune to what's going on there. If you are not aware, the Treasurer's Office also has bill pay programs where you can spread out the bill. So today is a perfect day. If your bill is due and you can't pay it, make sure you call and at least get enrolled in one of the programs that you can delay. So those are immediate assistance, existing things. Obviously, that's not going to fix the bigger issue, which is what I think Connie was referencing. And those get us into these broader solutions we need to talk about.
Right. Thanks for that call, Connie. We are going to talk about those broader solutions. We've got John on the line. Hey, John, thanks for your call. What's your question or comment?
So my comment is that the property tax as implemented in Ohio is basically a wealth tax. And it's based on estimated wealth. And where people have been against wealth taxes on the richest billionaires, we're applying a wealth tax on the ordinary citizens in Ohio. A fairer tax would be, all these proposals are band-aids. So a fairer tax would be that property values and the taxes only change under a few specific conditions, such as when your property is sold, if you undergo some major, renovation or demolished or whatever, or people approve a levy. Now, of course, local government, schools and local government depend heavily on property taxes. So the state has to step in. What we've seen in the last couple of decades is the state keeps reducing aid to schools and local government, and which forces more property taxes locally. So that's a real fix to this problem.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that. We are going to talk about some of the recommendations in this report, but first we have to take a big quick break. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment, and later in the program, we'll hear an update on the state of Black Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about new research that finds property tax increases are not spread equally among residents in Hamilton County. The researchers are recommending significant changes to our taxing system to make it more equitable, and we're going to get into that. My guests are sociology professor and ERUCA director, Junia Howell, and Housing Opportunities Made Equal assistant director, LaTanya Springs. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Junia, before the break, we had John talk about property tax as a wealth tax. You wanted to address that?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks, John, for calling in. And a lot of the points you make actually are reflected in the report. So I encourage you to pick those up because we agree on many, many points. But I want to unpack this understanding of it being a wealth tax for a second, because that is our common understanding of property tax, that it's a wealth tax. And that's often how we distinguish it from income tax. At the top of the show, we actually talked about that property tax is our oldest form of taxation. So it predates income. So it's actually more recent that we thought about it as a wealth tax compared to an income tax, because it used to be both. And so in this report, one thing that I wanted to do was examine, is it actually taxing wealth? So as a sociologist, when we say the word wealth, we think about it like economists talk about net worth. It's a similar concept. The kind of amount of your assets minus your debt. So we're talking about property or housing wealth. It's what did you put into the house minus what you got out of the house minus what you put in the house. So an easy way of thinking about this is if you sold a house for $200,000 but bought it for $100,000, then your wealth gain from owning that house was $100,000. So I said, okay, this is math. We can figure that out. We can figure out how much wealth people are actually making off these houses. And then how does that compare to the annual property taxes that they're paying? And we see both across race and income, people who are more marginalized. So those are our communities of color. Those are those with less income are paying higher proportions of any kind of wealth they might gain in annual income, annual property tax, excuse me. And in fact, those who gain the bottom 20% of gaining the least from your property are paying more in annual property tax than they're ever gaining out of their property. So again, if we want to think about generational wealth, LaTanya was talking earlier about Black home ownership, like these are real significant issues. And when property taxes are racially and economically unequal, it actually makes the wealth tax even more unequal. So that gets us into, okay, what can be some of these solutions? So big picture, there's three ways that we could really have a taxing system that was more fair. So
okay,
one,
before you get into those, I want to thank you, John, and I want to hang up so you can listen to the rest of the program. Thank you so much for calling, John. Okay, let's get into the kind of the three legs of this solution stool that's in this research.
Yeah. And I'm going to do it in a different order than I normally do because I want to just pick up on that wealth. John mentioned that, you know, it should be taxed when you buy and sell property. We do. That's called a transfer tax in Ohio. And one of our main solutions is to increase our transfer tax. And to make it not just based on sale price, but the actual wealth that's gained from the sale itself. And so if we were taxed, we could use the sale tax rate, that we have in the city. And we would gain more. We would collect more, if you will, by the city would collect more using it, that sale tax rate, on transfer tax than they do currently in annual income tax. So that's the moment that you have money from property. That's when we should be taxing it. That would actually be a wealth tax. And so that is one kind of prong of this stool, if you will. Another is recognizing that right now, an option we have is income tax. So something we haven't talked about yet that's in the report is looking at comparing people's, how much they spend on property taxes. So this isn't just the increases. This is just how much are they spending compared to their income. Those who make less than $25,000 a year in our county are spending 36% of their income on property tax alone.
And that's of their annual income.
It's enormous. Of course, on the other end, we're talking when you get really up, you know, past 200,000, you're talking under 1%. It is the most regressive tax that we have in our county. So if we substituted some of what we currently collect with property tax with income tax, we would automatically start being more fair. And that's not even talking about a progressive income tax. Like the city, we have a flat tax. That's not progressive. That doesn't go up when you make more. It's just flat. But that would still be more equal than our current system. So the two entities that could really contribute to that quickly in our current political system is municipalities. So in Cincinnati proper, that's our city, obviously, and Norwood or, you know, all the different pockets that's their jurisdictions as well, and our schools. So again, you know, this has overlap in Cincinnati. We think about it as CPS and Cincinnati Public Schools, but that's not exactly the same circle. As you probably know, and as the caller referenced earlier too, schools are the biggest part of property taxes. Obviously, our schools also have their own budget issues right now. They have a mechanism via state income taxes to collect income tax that they're not currently using, and they could dramatically reduce property taxes and move it towards income taxes. Now, you might feel, if you're a listener, like, oh no, then it would be more income tax. For the average resident, it would reduce your overall tax. In fact, over 90% of city residents would save money if we eliminated or reduced property tax and moved to a flat earnings tax. If we use the state for the CPS for schools, which is progressive, then it would be higher than 90% that would be saving. And that's just because of how regressive property tax is, meaning that those who have less are paying more. So if you make less, if your household makes less than $150,000, moving towards an income tax would save you hundreds of dollars a year. So that's another piece of it. And then the third is really rethinking there's still something that people who are using a lot more land should have a lot more, you know, maybe should pay more. But there are ways to look at that doesn't relate to market value that would be more equitable and more just. So that would be the three-prong ideal system. And obviously, we can't get that tomorrow. So what we also have looked at is what are the mid and long-term ways that we can work towards a more just taxing approach?
Mm-hmm. And I want to get to those. We do have another caller on the line. Hi, Robert. Thanks for your call. What's your question?
Hi, folks. First of all, great show. Thanks, Juna and LaTanya, for your great input. I love this sort of stuff. My issue or question was one of, as I listened to the thing about the mass assessment process, talk to me about the potential of there being bias actually in that whole process that has created this mess, this inequality.
That's a great question. I'm going to stop you there, Robert, and let Junya address that.
Yeah, absolutely. There, you know, we think about bias in different ways, and there's like legal definitions or practical definitions, but I feel like you're coming from a practical side, and 100% there's bias in this. Humans make algorithms. Yes, it's based on data, but we have to input what is valued and not valued. And there are decisions that are made, put into that algorithm, that are not deliberately trying to disadvantage Black residents. Absolutely not. Not by our auditor's office. That is not at all what they're trying to do. They use a vendor who actually creates algorithm. That's not what they're trying to do. But because of structural inequality and how market appraisers happen, like, we exactly know the kinds of mathematical decisions that are being made that are creating this inequality. So there's completely bias in the system. And in fact, that's one of our mid-range, you know, not, we can't do it tomorrow because of how the law is structured, but in the next 2 to 4 years, change how we use that algorithm. Now, that is not going to change a lot of the inequality, because again, the inequality comes from that this is not a really great, animal property tax is not a really great way of distributing, especially across race and income, fair burdens of what we need to pay for our public services. But it would increase some, it would be an effort towards equity. And so there are other scholars who have proposed different ways of creating these algorithms, and likely we would need the state to endorse us switching to those, but without even some of the larger policy change, that would be one step towards a more equitable process.
There's so much more to these reports. We have a link to them on our website, wvxu.org. I'm going to encourage everybody to check those out. LaTanya, I want to get you back into the conversation. You're with the with Housing Opportunities Made Equal, our fair housing agency. What impact does all this have on renters? You know, we've been talking about homeowners, but this really hits renters too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does hit renters. You know, how it hits a renter is that if my property tax as an owner goes up, I have to shift a burden to somebody. So that is eventually going to be on the renter. And with the rents already being over $1,000 for one bedroom, and we don't have a lot of affordable housing right now, you know that the least fortunate will be impacted from the property taxes.
Hmm. And can I add slightly to that? There's a whole nother level where the IRS gets involved, right? So the IRS allows landlords to write off property taxes, basically literally pushing the property tax onto their renters. So if you're a renter, you don't write out a check for the treasurer. You don't see it in your mortgage payment, but it's in your rent payment. It's absolutely in your rent payment. And your landlord might be writing that check, but they're not paying that, because that counts as an expense that they don't pay taxes on. So renters completely pay property tax, which, as Tanya is saying, that is going, has already and will continue to increase their rent. In fact, in the report itself, we look at residents broadly defined for this very reason, because when we talk about property tax, we cannot exclude that a large chunk of that is actually paid by renters. And yes, we've done the checks. We've split it between homeowners and renters. We know that that is also part of it, but it's in both.
Well, I've been talking with sociology professor and ERUCA director, Junya Howell, and Housing Opportunities Made Equal assistant director, LaTanya Springs. You can find a link to this research on our website, wvxu.org. Thank you both for your time today. Coming up next, we're looking at rising veterinarian bills. Have you been hit with a big bill for your pet? We want to hear from you. Call us at 513-419-7100. Leave us a message with your name and call back number. We may use your comments on air. And up next, we'll hear an update on the state of Black Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati Edition.